Good day. This day I shall allow all of you to engage questions in relation to what interests you or what is important to you. And in that, I will give you the entire time to ask your questions, beginning now.
Hello, Elias. Christoph here. Can you
understand Elias? Me? Hello. Hello.
Hello, Elias. Do you understand me?
Hello. Hello, Elias. Hello. 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 Oh. Hello.
Somebody keeps muting everybody, so that's what happened. So they've muted Mary, too.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a mute all, and it shouldn't be active for non-presenters, but it is.
Oh, Lord.
Very well. Continue with your question.
Hello, Elias?
Yes.
Oh, it's Veronica. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us. Elias, I would like to ask you about a transcript that I heard the other day. It was Julie who spoke about a retreat in Jamaica, a psychedelic mushroom situation. First of all, I think it was a wonderful experience for her. A wonderful learning experience for me. Is it possible to achieve this expansion without the mushroom? The reason I'm asking is because it's a costly situation. And I'm wondering for myself if I could achieve that expansion with crystals or with more self-awareness.
Yes.
Did you say yes?
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful. That depth, that expansion?
Most definitely, yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't expect you to say that. Oh, how wonderful.
It's simply a matter of practice. I would say if you are engaging meditation and you are practicing becoming more and more self-aware, most definitely you can achieve that without incorporating the substance.
Oh, how wonderful. All right. Along these lines, I mean, this is my second question. I'm learning about runes. And since I was at a pyramid in Egypt, could I open a portal using the runes as though I were in another pyramid? Would the energy that was awakened within me or transferred to me while I was in the pyramid, would that be sufficient to open a portal together with the use of runes?
Yes, if you are so choosing. Yes, you could do that also.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. All right, thank you. All right, I won't monopolize this. That was my question. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
Oh, I just love you. Love you, love you. Okay.
Hello, Elias, Christoph here.
Yes.
So I have, it's mainly a confirmation question. So in the middle of February, I visited Scotty for the first time and it was quite exciting and inspiring. And about a week later, I received impressions and information that after that visit, there was a potential for a new probability to be created for me that was not in my original pool of probabilities. You know that Scotty has a certain position, and originally many individuals throughout this dimension were trained to hold that position, but now only Scotty is left. And I saw that it was discussed within essences and consciousness whether I should be trained for that position as well. And although I was not the original candidate, I fulfilled the requirements and I have the advantage of having objective contact with somebody who holds that position, who could teach me to be an example. So I'm kind of an obvious choice. And this week I had the impression that consciousness agreed that I can be a trainee for that position, but I did not agree myself yet. Is all of that accurate, or some of it?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. It's quite immense for me. Do you have any advice for me in case I decide to start the training?
I would say what I would suggest would be that you are very much focused on yourself and your energy and being open and being open to large waves of energy and in that allowing yourself to experiment and observe whether you are in a position at this point of being overwhelmed or whether you are in a position in which you could actually maintain your energy and others.
Okay.
That would be my suggestion to practice with.
Yeah, I have seen that it was said that it could be very beneficial if one of these positions is held by a warrior. So that was one thing that was said.
Which I understand. And I agree that could be. But I would also express that it is something to genuinely be considering. There is a tremendous amount of energy that would be required to engage without being overwhelmed. In actuality, what I would say to you, my friend, is this is a subject that would be better served to be discussing in an individual conversation.
Okay, but thank you for the confirmation.
Thank you. You are welcome.
This is the moderator. I'd like to ask a question on behalf of Rudolf, whose microphone isn't working.
Very well.
He's got a few different questions. I'll just start in the middle. As I'm getting to know me, what would you recommend me to generate more intimate relationships and trust my own expressions, not project so heavily to others?
It requires practice, but I would say that it is a matter of experimenting, trusting yourself, and know that when you are interacting with other individuals, it isn't a matter of only paying attention to you. Of course, you are interacting with other individuals, and therefore you are paying attention to them and you are paying attention to yourself. But in that, what I would say is there are some key points that are significant to attempt to remember. One is not to be always following everyone else's lead, that you aren't always waiting for other people and what they are expressing to give you cues as to what you do or what you express, that you can initiate also. But another piece is when you are paying attention to other people and interacting with them, practice paying attention without automatically moving in your own direction of judgments. That this is very common, that people automatically, while they're listening to other people, they are partially looking for reference points in their own experiences that they can relate, in a manner of speaking, to the other individual and what they are expressing. But you also automatically have a tendency to include your own judgments in relation to what the other individual is doing or saying or how they are expressing. Remember your guidelines. That, I would say, is your greatest benefit and the greatest piece that can aid you in relation to interacting with other individuals, especially in relation to differences, which is a very big subject presently. And this is something that most people are experiencing and interpreting a significant amount of difficulty with, which is understandable. But when you find yourself expressing a judgment, or when you are confused, or when you are interpreting difficulty in interacting with other individuals, let me say this. First, don't always express the first thing that enters your head. Pause. And wait a moment before you respond. Expressing the first thing that comes into your head generally is associated with your own guidelines, which you are then projecting to the other person. Therefore, if you stop and you think about that first thing that came into your head, and then turn it the other direction and apply it to you rather than the other person, it can be considerably helpful in your interactions with other individuals. I would also say that regardless of the situation, if you are pausing while you are interacting with another individual and you think about your guidelines, what is important to you, your guidelines guide your behavior. Not anyone else's, they guide your behavior. Therefore, it can be very instrumental and it can be very helpful to think about your guidelines, because that tells you what to do. It gives you a guide in relation to your own behavior, how to behave, what to do, how to express yourself. And in that, you are doing it in relation to you, not the other person. And therefore, there is no judgment in relation to the other person. Then that can be tremendously helpful, because it doesn't create expectations, it doesn't create judgments, and your energy will not be offensive or threatening to the other individual. And many times you aren't thinking that you are being offensive or threatening to another individual, and you may think that your energy is very neutral, or you might even think that your energy is being helpful, when in actuality, it may not be at all, because you may be expressing in relation to your guidelines, but projecting them to the other person. And that does create an expectation, and it does create situations in which the other individual receives that energy and feels a threat. And therefore, they may respond in manners that you don't expect, or that are confusing to you, or that you don't understand. That is the reason why they are projecting an energy of defense, which generally then you will react to and also be expressing an energy of defense. And that merely creates a very uncomfortable circle in which one individual is reacting to the other, and then the other, and then the other, and it can be very uncomfortable. Therefore, I would say that the simplest expression of how you can be interacting with other individuals in a non-confrontational manner, a non-expectational manner, and a non-judgmental manner is to pay attention to your guidelines and use them for you.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
I have a pretty similar question. Bonjour, Elias. It's about interconnections and influences. I'm very sensitive about people feeling of energy, etc. And last week, for example, I watched a report on a guy who killed people. And he's in prison for his whole life. And it made me cry. And I don't know if it's about interconnection with people, or more because I'm very influenced by their energy, etc. And how can I make the difference and leave it more freely and allow myself to be more myself also? And not following influences, external influences.
But for you, that is being yourself, because you are sensitive. And therefore, in relation to that interconnectedness, you may feel compassion for other people, or you may feel very similar to what they are expressing in feelings. let me say this to you. Some people are very sensitive, and some people that are very sensitive are also very open to other energies and to that interconnectedness with everything else in your reality and beyond. And in that, what I would say to you, first of all, is what is important is to not fight with that, to not judge it as bad. I understand that it can create some emotional situations that might feel uncomfortable and might seem inappropriate at different times in different situations. But what I would say to you is, if you find yourself in a situation in which you think that you may be expressing emotionally in an inappropriate capacity, you can simply remove yourself from the situation and temporarily place yourself in a different location, meaning you can simply excuse yourself for a few minutes and then attempt to center yourself. But for the most part, what I would say to you is, it isn't that you aren't being you when you are connecting with other people or situations or other things or other beings. It isn't that you are taking their feelings, let us say, and that you are expressing them. First of all, understand, whatever you feel, those are your feelings because your body consciousness creates them. Now, can that be influenced by outside sources? Of course it can. It can be influenced by outside sources that you don't even see or you're not even objectively aware of in any given point in time, depending on your sensitivity. But the first part to recognize is that they are your feelings. They are being generated by your body consciousness. You may be responding or reacting to some outside source, but the feelings that you have are still your feelings. Therefore, in that, that in itself can be somewhat empowering to know that you aren't being manipulated or you aren't subject to those outside sources or other people. Those feelings are your own. And in that, the first piece, as I said, is to stop fighting with it. Stop thinking that this is not good or that this is bad, that you have these responses in relation to different situations and people. And then from that, allow yourself to feel what you feel, but then also remember the key piece. Don't follow the feelings. That is difficult to do because so many of you, if not most of you, are so accustomed to following feelings that you don't even realize you are doing it. You simply do it. In your terms, for most of you, it is normal. But it creates difficulties and it creates very uncomfortable situations. Feelings are signals. If you can remember that, and if you can catch yourself when you are expressing feelings, you can acknowledge them, that they are real and that they are important. They have a purpose, but then to let them go and pay attention to what you are doing. That is the point of feelings. I cannot emphasize this enough because most of you are still following feelings. But in that, if you can recognize and define what it is that you are feeling, let us see, you see this story and you are experiencing these feelings of compassion and sadness and longing, that you are participating with this individual and you feel some of the experiences that perhaps this other individual is feeling, frustration, isolation, and being unwitnessed. But in that, all of that is giving you information. And in that, all of those feelings have a statement behind them as to what you are doing. If the feelings are very strong and becoming overwhelming, you are making a statement to yourself about what you are doing in the moment. And perhaps what you are doing in the moment is becoming so caught up in the feelings and following the feelings that you aren't paying attention to you anymore, because all you are paying attention to are the signals. Therefore, what is very important in relation to feelings is knowing that they all are being expressed because of what you are doing in the moment. They are the signal to alert you to that statement. Remember, or if you can remember, this one simple piece, that feelings are signals, and if you can visualize them as being the same as traffic signals, you see the traffic signal, you know it means something. But it isn't giving you a lengthy explanation. It is merely giving you a statement. Stop, go slow. One of those three statements. It isn't explaining stop or another vehicle will collide with you and crash. Slow, because you should use caution at this point, because the signal is about to turn red. Go, because it is your turn and you are allowed to go. No, there are no explanations with the signal. You know what it means. There is only a brief statement, a one-word statement. Slow, stop, or go. And you know what those statements mean. If you can genuinely practice and attempt to remember that your feelings are the same as those traffic signals. They are important. They are directly in front of you. They can be considerably strong because they are designed to get your attention. And they do. But in that, what accompanies feelings always is a statement about what you are doing. Even then feelings are accompanied by a statement. That is the emotion. The emotion is the statement that tells you what you are doing in the moment, because you aren't necessarily objectively aware instantly of what you are doing. That is the reason you have that signal, to pull your awareness to yourself about what you are doing. Now, in that, when you can acknowledge you have this tremendous compassion, you are experiencing these feelings in relation to other people or situations or other beings, and you can acknowledge that, then stop paying attention to the feeling. You don't have to keep paying attention to the feeling. You already know that that is happening. You already know what the feeling is. You are sad, you are angry, you are frustrated, you are happy, you are excited, you are elated, you are compassionate. You know what the feeling is. You don't have to keep paying attention to it to know what it is. In that, it is a matter of paying attention to what is the statement about what you are doing. Not what is the situation. You know what the situation is. Not what is the other person doing. You know what the other person is doing. You are watching it.
Are we here?
Yes, we are here.
Yeah.
It's Mary.
Okie dokie.
We're here.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Hi, Mary.
Laughing.
He's laughing.
Continuing.
Okay, so I'm continuing. Merci, mon ami. And so for, it's about the spirituality. I'm struggling since I arrived in Canada, because it's like I had the impression I've lost my identity and I've lost at the same time my spirituality. I did go to see a psychologist and did a session with them. And at the moment I started to talk about it, I just stopped going there. And since few months, since I stopped working, like goddamn, oh my god, I have just my work in my life and I need to fight for that. I'm doing my shamanic travel again, etc. But I still have some difficulty to connect to this very important part of myself. Do you have some advice for me to reconnect with this spirituality? What I mean is like traveling through, expanding my consciousness and discovering new aspects of myself and of the consciousness.
And how would you define that you feel you have lost your identity?
At this time, it was like everything that I've believed in. Like, I thought that love was the most important thing in my life. And I had to broke up with my boyfriend at this time. I left my family and my friends. We were in France, and I had to make this choice to do my life. This is the impression I have, and to discover something inside of me. But at this time also, I've lost this connection I had with my spirituality.
Actually, I would say you haven't necessarily lost it. It is changing. I would say that your definition of it is changing, and your experience of it is changing. And in that, what I would say to you is that at this point, presently, it is first a matter of you becoming more self-aware, definitely looking at all different aspects of yourself, and beginning to redefine that word, spirituality, and being able to see it from a very different angle, that your spirituality is everything. It is literally everything. Everything you do, everything about you, everything you engage. I would say to you that there is nothing that isn't a part of your spirituality. And that is the piece that I would say you are redefining. And that may be the reason that you feel that you have somehow lost your spirituality, or that you don't know what it is any longer, because this action of redefining it is somewhat unsettling. When you have a very strong sense of how you define spirituality, and that is upended in a manner of speaking, it can be somewhat overwhelming to realize that what you held to as a foundation has been somewhat crumbled, that it isn't your foundation any longer. And this is a part of expanding, and this is a part of becoming more self-aware, moving through that journey of self and exploring all of the different aspects of yourself. And part of that is letting go of most of what you thought was true, and most of what you thought was your foundation, because most of that is constructs. Most of it is expressed in constructs, and this is what you are letting go of, is all of those reasons why and reasons for. which for the most part is almost everything you know. And everything that has been your foundation in life, even in what you expressed, that you believed that the most important thing in your life was love, I would never move in a direction of diminishing the importance of love. But I will also express very realistically in your reality, it is important, but it can't be solely the most important factor in your reality, because it isn't enough to sustain you in your physical reality. If you were not engaged in a physical reality, then I would express that, yes, you could be sustained in relation to love alone. And that could be the most important part of your existence outside of a physical reality. But you are participating in a physical reality. And because of that, there are other components at play. And in that, that's not bad. It's not wrong. It's not less than. It's different. And in that, it has been a choice to explore physical reality. But you also made a choice to be exploring physical reality in this focus of attention, in relation to this shift, in addition to anything else. And in this shift, this piece of becoming more self-aware is significantly important. And that is, as I have expressed previously, redefining terms and redefining your reality. And spirituality is one of those terms that is being redefined. I would say to you, my friend, practice being more gentle with yourself and expressing that sensitivity that you have with you. And in that, perhaps incorporate a time frame where temporarily, in which you concentrate your attention more on you and not on all these outside sources, not so much on everything around you, but you and who you are and what is important to you. And know that you are stripping away all of these constructs. Do you understand that concept? Constructs are everything that explains anything. Every explanation that you have in your reality, everything that explains anything in your reality, that is a construct. And those you are beginning to reevaluate, redefine, and look at and reassess. Do I actually believe this? Do I actually agree with this? This is the reason that I do this, but do I even agree with it? Or this is the reason that something exists. Anything that is an explanation for anything. Anything that gives you a reason why or a reason for is a construct, which is almost everything in your life. And all of that is being called into question. To evaluate what is genuinely important to you. Not simply all the reasons why and the reasons for everything. What I would say to you is, my dear friend, I reiterate, be gentle with yourself and give yourself time to evaluate what is genuinely important to you. And know that you may not have an answer for that question. You may be in a process of redefining your reality by generating new experiences and paying attention to you. But whatever it is, the most important factor is that you not fight with yourself, that you not judge yourself, and that you give yourself that time to genuinely be gentle and accepting of you. Are you understanding?
I think so. And I know you will be close to help me out if I
need. Oh, most definitely. That is not even a question.
Thank you.
Hi, Elias. This is Cammy. We created at the moment, as a collective, a virus. Well, they call it the coronavirus. I'm wondering, what is the function of this event? If I look at it from that we are in the science wave right now, and also that many and many people desire to be in an interconnectedness experience. So I don't want to look at it from a doom and gloom or fear, but what is the function of this?
It isn't doom and gloom. I would definitely express that. But think about it. Think about what is being emphasized in relation to this science wave. And think about the origin of this virus. And think about how it has been expressed. And what is that?
What is that?
Yes. Where did it originate? And why?
Well, as far as I or we know, it originated in China.
Yes. And how?
And how? Well, as far as I... Oh, man. Many reasons. But what I read was that it was from animals.
Correct.
Bats.
And what is one of the strongest emphasis of this present science wave?
Rules.
That and...
Maybe I don't get your question.
Difference. Differences. And
yes.
I would say that this is a significant difference. A very, very significant difference, especially now. What is happening in your world? People are becoming more and more aware of environmental issues, correct? Yes. And people are becoming more and more aware of issues in relation to the treatment of animals. People are moving more and more in directions of what you define as conservation, and also moving in directions of being more humane, which is quite ironic. You derive that word from yourselves, and you are a species that is entirely inhumane with yourselves. Not to mention any other species, but in that, I would express that regardless of the word that you choose to use, which I would encourage all of you to invent a different word, but regardless of the word that you choose, I would say that I credit many, many, many of you in moving in a direction of becoming more aware, not being self-absorbed, but becoming self-aware. And in that, recognizing your connection to your planet, to other beings in your reality, animals and plants and everything in your reality. But then we enter the situation with difference and recognizing that not everyone in your world is moving in relation to this shift and self-awareness at the same pace. And not everyone is doing it in the same manner. Now, there are very significant differences in Eastern and Western cultures. There are Eastern cultures, significant Eastern cultures, Chinese cultures, Japanese cultures, and even in surrounding countries that are very similar, and they engage very, very different perceptions and very different practices, and how they perceive themselves and how they perceive animals is very different from how you perceive them. And in that, I would say, in answer to your question, what is the purpose of this particular virus, or what is the point of this virus? I would say there are several. One is to bring attention to that piece of interconnectedness between humans and animals. And that certain practices with animals is not necessarily beneficial. Not simply to them, but to you as humans, that it isn't necessarily a beneficial direction. Now, at this point, in this moment, I would express to all of you, don't be too quick to judge. Because you yourselves in Western cultures, until very recently, I would say, until the most recent past 25 years, which is not very much time. Your perceptions of your relationships with animals was not necessarily the same as they are in many of these Eastern cultures, but your perception of yourselves and animals was as much divided. You may not have engaged some animals in a similar manner, but your treatment of animals that you eat has not been tremendously something to be admired. It would be humane because it would be human. But in that, what I would say is, as I expressed, don't be too quick to judge with people in other cultures. They have been expressing this perception for thousands of years, as have you also, and you have only recently moved in a direction in which you are generating a very different perception now than you have previously, and you are much more moving in a direction of honoring your connection with animals. These people in these other cultures have very, very strong cultures. They aren't conglomerates of many different cultures. They are cultures that reach back many, 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 many thousands and thousands of years that have little influence until this past century from outside cultures in the rest of the world. Therefore, their cultures have been being expressed in certain capacities without interruption, without other influences, for a very long time. And in that, I would say that they are moving in a direction of wanting to be connected with the rest of the world, not wanting to be as isolated as they have been for generations, for thousands of years. They are definitely incorporating themselves more in relation to the rest of the world. They are taking an interest in climate change. They're perception in relation to animals is still very strong in relation to that separation. And therefore, they, in conjunction with the animals, in cooperation, actually, with the animals, have created this virus as a statement to themselves. You in other cultures, in other countries, have created it and have participated in it as a difference and a presentment of a difference that you have very strong judgments about, and to give yourselves the opportunity to recognize that you aren't simply interconnected with people you like. You are interconnected with everyone. You aren't only interconnected with people you agree with, but with everyone. And in that, this is part of this science wave, is breaking the rules, yes, and presenting those differences to yourselves that you can learn how to alter your perception and not be so judgmental and learn to be accepting of differences. And the more you move in the direction of being accepting of differences, the less differences you will have to accept. Therefore, that is the point of this virus. I would say that this virus, yes, has a point that was similar to your AIDS virus. Mm-hmm. In that, yes, you are making a statement to yourselves, and the animals are making a statement also, that they are just as interconnected with you as you are with each other. Everything is interconnected. Therefore, I would express that this is something to not be automatically giving a tremendous amount of energy to, which doesn't mean don't pay attention to it. It means stop judging it. And stop judging why it began. And in that, finding a way to be more accepting, and therefore in that, eradicating the reasons for this type of dis-ease, just as you did with AIDS. And you did. And you accomplished. And you moved forward. And did you eliminate it? No. But you haven't eliminated those judgments either. But you have generated a tremendous difference and have turned it tremendously. And you have lessened the judgment exceptionally, and therefore that virus, although it still remains, is not expressed in the manner that it was. It isn't an epidemic. It isn't necessarily life-threatening any longer. And I would express you can very well do the same with this. As I expressed, and this does not only apply to individuals, it also applies in mass. This wave, because it is emphasizing breaking the rules and it is emphasizing differences, and that is presenting difficulties. Many responses to it are likely to surface in physical manifestations with individuals, in mass, both, that gains your attention in the strongest manner. You pay attention if you...
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
He was saying if you pay attention...
I would say this is quite convenient. But each time an answer is complete, we stop the connection.
That's a good way to look at it.
Well, that's a question.
Okay.
Quite unique.
Can I ask you another question?
Interconnection, right?
And yes, your question?
Well, actually, two things. I have an item in my hand that I think I have discovered a tile of the city of the future. Although it's a little confusing in that it was discovered while a group of us were talking about runes and their potency and actuality and utility. And but I kept leaning towards the tile of the future, and as I'm sitting here in session, I'm seeing this sort of background to it evolving that looks kind of like a really Renaissance-y kind of a painting, but a sort of mystical, looks like a pyramid in the background and so forth, that indicates to me that it is a tile of the city of the future and that it represents our ability to morph, if you will, into other dimensional realities, and it is sort of a tool that enables us to do that. And I think it's inserted by the Zuli and discovered by Tumult, me. Is that correct?
Yes, correct, except for that it itself isn't the actual tile. It is a representation of it. But yes,
okay, so
the rest of what
already
you have
exists.
Expressed is correct.
Cool. Cool beans. And I've been exploring. Thank you very much. It was pretty exciting to me because I instantaneously recognized it, but had to cogitate it and feel into it a little bit to unearth some of that other yummy detail. So I've been engaging lots and lots of interesting shifts and alterations of perception, and it's been a little scary being me. as you said the last time we spoke, I wasn't dying, and I haven't, obviously, but I certainly have been mimicking someone who is, albeit in my mind and in my energy. I don't feel like that's where I'm going or anything. I'm more moving and focused in those energetic places and engaging a lot of amazing energy, but my body seems to be like really not cooperating, and I'm doing lots of things that from my perception are helpful and beneficial to my body, but it has seemed determined to show me something that I evidently am blind to, because I'm not getting the point, evidently, because I'm really focused on well-being and visualizing and doing my tapping and my qigong, and all of that really assists me in feeling vibrant and feeling into my being. And I feel like I want to be in that being more of the time than my physical, you know, self ego identity experience. And it seems like for me, differences there are I'm trying to sequester myself into this more artistic, creative mode than the rhetorical mundane that just overwhelms me. And I'm tired of hurting.
I would say that much of this also has to do with redefining. And accepting yourself, accepting your body as not separate. And in that, not insistent that it be your normal. Now, let me express to you, this is a significant point because it isn't only in relation to bodies, but it definitely does apply to bodies and how you perceive your body. It also applies to how you perceive everything in your life and how you automatically perceive. And I definitely express tremendous credit to many, many, many of you that are very diligently becoming more aware and are reminding yourselves of these points. But I am reminding you also again that you automatically, each of you, but you specifically, for it is your question, you have your own perception of what is good, what is healthy, and how to be healthy. And in that, that becomes your normal. It is all of your idea of how your reality should be if it is being expressed optimally. And what I would say is, this is a matter of letting go of all that too. All of the reasons why and reasons for, which includes all of the reasons for why you think something is healthy or the reason for doing something in a particular manner to maintain health. It also includes all of that. Those are all constructs also. And most of your constructs have been set in place for you to create this perception of your normal. And what you want is for everything to conform to that. All people, all things, all situations, and even your body, for your body is many times looked at, perceived as something separate from you. Something you wield, something that is attached to you, but not something that is you. And regardless of how much many of you express that you know that your body is not something separate from you, whenever you are addressing to something you don't like or that is dysfunctioning with your body, you make this separation. I know I'm creating this, but my body is doing this. If you genuinely were not making any separation with the body consciousness and not trying to make it your normal, you wouldn't even express in those types of words. And let me express to all of you again, words are important. How you use them is important. Even if you think, I didn't mean that when you say something, it doesn't matter. The words you choose are important because they are very telling in relation to what you actually perceive. Even though you think you didn't mean something, there is truth in what you say. What I am expressing to you is, this is also one of those situations very similar to what I was expressing with the other individual. It is so important, especially at this present time framework, to be gentle with yourself. To not be expressing that force of energy that your body has to be your normal, to be functioning properly. And it rebels. And you are correct that no matter what you do, it continues to do what it does because it isn't it. It is you. And you are doing two things at the same time. You are fighting with yourself and generating an expectation of yourself at the same time that you are attempting to express empowering yourself.
And I am doing that, Laura. I mean, I really literally daily catch myself in those moments where I'm not being present. I tenderly do like bodily treatments where I give myself a massage or where I rub oils into my skin and thank my body on a cellular level. I thank my food on a cellular level, and I literally feel energized by that. But it feels like the overwhelm has come because of there being so much information that we're accustomed to, like labeling and things like that, that generate triggers that get me off of the everything is fine as it is, and I am well, and I can, you know, come into balance. And I've been feeling tons of energy coming in, but I've had a little trouble grounding because of my shakiness in my body. But it is very, very amazing. This whole creativity aspect has been a tremendous movement that is sort of reopening this energetic part of myself. And it feels like it has to start on the inside first in that way, by just allowing that to come forth, where I repressed that for so many decades, that I think that's partially what's coming out of my body as well, is the toxicity of having held those constructs so tightly for so long and finally limbering up and feeling more like I'm in the flow and am the flow. And it's just quite a dramatic change, and it takes some assimilation time.
I agree. Then you have answered your own question in the same manner that I have. And that, I would say that I acknowledge you most definitely. And I would say that I also acknowledge the moments of frustration that this is a matter of reminding yourself it isn't a race. And that it will be accomplished when it is accomplished. And that you are correct. It takes time because you are creating a different, new reality for yourself. And it slips in and out, but you will eventually move in the direction in which it doesn't slip in and out any longer, and in which it will be maintained. You will get there in your terms.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Courage. And in that, in the moments that you are expressing frustration or you are thinking to yourself, it isn't working, it's still happening, acknowledge that with yourself and simply remind yourself, it is happening. It is simply not instantaneous.
I have two quick questions, I think. One was my essence name. I keep feeling like it has something to do with Ren, or that name has always been important in my life.
That name has always been important in your life, I agree.
And I had asked you about it, and you said that it was important with male and female. Does it have anything to do with my essence name? Because that's the only important name I tend to draw up.
That name has been important to you because it has been a physically focused name many times. Therefore, that is the reason that it holds importance to you, because it also holds an attachment of many, many, many experiences. Now, for one moment, quietly feel into your energy and what comes to you.
Something that starts with an S or a S sound.
Correct.
I don't want to say Sheena, but it's something like that, or Shane, or something. Or Shanu? I don't
know. That is closer. Now, quietly feel into the energy
it's show I'm getting sounds, but I can't hear them enough to say them.
Show no.
Oh, that feels right. I never got that name. I never got that name. I always kept getting the red.
That would be difficult, and I agree. This would be an Inuit word. Shouno. S-H-O-U-N-O.
Awesome. And then I'm supposed to ask you about rocks. It keeps coming up. Energy in rocks, crystalline, EMFs. There's something that keeps repeatedly in TV things, keeps coming up on rocks, and the fact that we don't realize the energy reservoirs they are, and our relationship to the rocks and the consciousness they have. And I'm not sure why I need to ask you about rocks, but that keeps coming up. I love my rocks.
Excellent. And I would say that that is another part of the interconnectedness. It isn't simply interconnected with other people, but with everything. And you are correct that stones do have consciousness, and they also do express properties or qualities and vibrational qualities, and they, in that, are interactive with you. They aren't simply something that is to sit in one place. They don't necessarily move themselves, but they definitely express an interactive energy with you, with all of you. Therefore, I would express that this is not unusual that you would be experiencing that connection with them. You can incorporate very many different varied interactions with them, and they have very many different qualities that you can explore with them also. I would say congratulations for allowing yourself to be expressing that point of interconnectedness and sharing that, although there are many individuals that use stones, I would say most of them don't necessarily think about them or perceive them in the manner of being interconnected with them. Therefore, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Elias?
Can I ask something about energy centers? Is it okay to ask something about energy centers?
Yes.
Okay. If you think it's beneficial, would you be able to provide a symbol for each energy center in order to make it easier to connect to them, such as an additional focal point to the color?
I would say I wouldn't necessarily express that that would be beneficial, because it simply creates another additional expression to think about, or for people to think they need to connect to, or that it is an additional piece for people to engage. What I would say is, in relation to the energy centers, I expressed at the onset of this forum that it would be helpful for people to visualize the energy centers all as balls, different colored balls. It is simple. It is easy. And I would say that it is a simple shape that most individuals can easily connect to. I would say that adding another symbol in relation to the energy centers complicates it more than is necessary.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
Elias, I would like to, I had an experience recently with somebody who was, I feel I was deeply connected with, who died. And I'm saying, we say disengage, but I'm saying died, because that was what it was to her and to everybody involved. And there were a number of people involved with this transition. I think she was a pretty powerful person. Anyway, I felt really connected while we were talking on the phone every other day, while she was easing out of physical existence, and I still feel connected. And we can interact with people. Actually, what I said to her was, I'll see you on the other side. And she said, well, I don't really believe that. And I said, I know you don't, and I'll be there to say I told you so. And she said, well, people have believed this for thousands of years, so there might be something to it. I mean, she was opening up. She was 86. She was, I've never experienced anything like it. She was ready to die. She was really happy that she was, that it was over. And she was opening up to people. It was quite an experience to people around her and to me. And I feel like I'm still, I don't know, connected and communicating sometimes with her. And that's something that's supposed to be happening more during the shift, right?
Definitely, yes. And most definitely.
So we can sort of, you know, like mentally or psychically or whatever, communicate with people. I have had that experience before, but this is really intense.
I would say congratulations. And I would also say that, yes, you definitely are correct that this is happening more and more frequently, and people are beginning to genuinely realize the lessening of that separation between what you think of as life and death, and that when people die, or when anything dies, it isn't gone. And that their energy is still available to you, and the personality remains with that energy. It isn't something that is simply a concept. It is very real and tangible. And people are actually beginning more and more to recognize this. And yes, this definitely is a part of this shifting consciousness. Congratulations. That is a valuable experience. And one of significant wonder.
I'll say. So is this going to be something that becomes like sort of part of people's lives now? I mean, more acknowledged and.
Yes.
The interaction is going to impact physical reality?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
A question about being vegetarian. In connection with the virus and with the human relationship with the animals. Do you think being vegetarian on a personal and en masse scale would be helpful for mankind?
For mankind in general, not necessarily, no. I would say that, would you say that it would be more beneficial to a pack of wolves to be vegetarian? No. Is it better for a bear to be a vegetarian? No. Is it better for a cheetah or a tiger to be a vegetarian? No. You are not necessarily a species that is an herbivore. But I would say that in relation to differences, once again, with people, some people, it is more beneficial in relation to how they create their body consciousness to be vegetarian, and I would say that most people that move in the direction of choosing to be vegetarian, they do it because of reasons in relation to what is important to them. They are philosophical reasons that are important to them, not necessarily body consciousness reasons, not because their body functions better if they are a vegetarian. Now, there are some people in your world in which their body consciousness does actually function more efficiently if they are not consuming meat proteins. But most of you, I would say the vast majority of you, you are a species of omnivores. Therefore, you are very similar to pigs, which are highly intelligent, versatile creatures, and they consume both meat and vegetation, and so do you. And there are many species that are omnivores, and in that, it isn't a matter of denying your natural expression as a being, as a physical being, but rather being more responsible in relation to that and genuinely paying attention to your body consciousness. And
yeah, we're at the end anyway, pretty much. Although Elias was at mid-sentence.
Okay.
Thank you, Elias.
It is a matter of honoring your body consciousness and paying attention to that and how it functions in relation to what you consume. And in that, being responsible to that and being responsible in relation to your interconnectedness. I would say to you, the lion understands its interconnectedness with an antelope. And in that, it feels no remorse or guilt in consuming an antelope. But in that, I would also express that there are hundreds of antelope to every one lion. And the lion may hunt the antelope, and generally it fails to be successful in its hunt between 9 and 11 times. It is only successful in its hunt once out of every 9 to 11 times of actual hunting. Therefore, in that, there is a balance in what you term to be nature. And in that, moving in a direction of mass producing animals for your consumption in a capacity in which they are mass produced to such a degree that they are contributing tremendously to your situation with climate change, and you as a species in your world cannot consume all of the animals that you produce for food. In that, there isn't a balance in relation to you consuming and what you consume in association with animals. It isn't that you should never be consuming animals as a food source, but to be consuming them in a responsible capacity in relation to your body consciousness. You don't require, none of you require consuming meat on a daily basis. You do require protein on a daily basis, and that can be in the form of meat or fish or other forms of protein. But I would say that you don't require red meat on a daily basis. You don't require poultry on a daily basis. In actuality, it is for most of you, not all, but most of you, more healthy with your body consciousness to be consuming red meat perhaps once a week, once every 2 weeks to be consuming poultry. You could actually consume poultry every other day and it wouldn't be detrimental to you. But I would say that your main source of protein, given your body consciousness and how it functions, is fish, which is the reason that most of your villages, towns, and cities are built by water sources. You think that you build your cities and your towns and your villages by water sources because it is a source of movement and how you transport yourselves and goods. That became a reason, but that is not your original reason, and that isn't the reason that you continued to generate your homes near water sources, whether they be lakes or rivers or oceans. Most of the main reason is because of the food source. That fish are a food source for you, very similar to bears. That is more of their main source of protein, and that is your main source of protein also.
Elias, we're about out of time. Actually, we're a little over, to be honest. But,
Very well. I express tremendous encouragement to all of you that you are all accomplishing very well. This is a challenging time framework, and you have some significant challenges to meet, but you are doing it very well. And I am tremendously acknowledging of all of you. And know that my energy is there with you continuously. And I also acknowledge all of your questions this day, that they have also evolved. Congratulations. Until our next meeting, my dear friends, in tremendous love to each and every one of you, as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir, Elias.
Thank you, Elias.
Tremendous.